Good morning and happy Sabbath. Welcome to Sacramento Central Study Hour. We're so glad that you could join us here this Sabbath morning. As we begin, let us sing our first song, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. We will be singing all three verses. That you would like to sing, if you'd like to request, you can go to www.saccentral.org under Contact Us. Leave the name of the hymn number, your name, and where you are located, and we will gladly sing your song for CSH. For our next song, we're going to be singing hymn number 518, Standing on the Promises. We'll be singing all three verses.
Of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall daily standing on the promises of God.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, thank you for another Sabbath that we may come here and worship you in spirit and in truth. I ask, Lord, that you please be with Elder Brett today as he presents the lesson study. Be with us. Please keep our hearts and minds open and focused on you. Be with those of us who are sick, Lord, those who we love that are sick. Please grant them peace, grant us peace, healing and understanding. Be with our family, both near and far. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And once again, Lord, thank you for your Sabbath. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Our lesson study today is brought to us by Brother Elder Brett. It is lesson 4, The Role of the Bible. Let us now give him the time.
Hello and welcome to Central Study Hour at beautiful Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are so glad that you're here with us from wherever you are. We are glad and honored that you can spend this time with us. Today we will be going over lesson number 4. And lesson number 4 is titled The Role of the Bible, and it's brought to us by this wonderful lesson on growing in a relationship with God. Hopefully that is the case with all of us, that we are growing that relationship and not ruining that relationship or weakening that relationship. So if we do maybe have a weakened relationship with God, hopefully we can learn some things from this study. And like we normally do at Sac Central, it was Central Study Hour. If you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson for yourself or to share with somebody else, if you found it beneficial, you can reach out to us. We'd love to be able to send you a free copy, CD or DVD. You can reach us at 916-457-6511. Call our office, give us your name, your number, your address, and which copy you'd like. We'll be able to send that out to you. Or if it's easier for you, you can just get out your phone or your computer and email us. The email is csh@saccentral.org, and make sure to give us your information again. And it's really crucial that you put in the offer number. So today's offer is C202617. So if you would like a copy of that, reach out. We'd love to be able to send it over to you. So lesson number 4, the role of the Bible. I mean, in having a relationship with God, we have to have the Bible. I mean, it's crucial. We can't not have the Bible in our relationship. We're going to see kind of when we have a relationship with God and we grow our relationship, what does that look like and what's the Bible's role in that? We'll start off by reading the memory text for this week, and that is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And you'll see that in the lesson throughout the week, it has us read this passage many times. So Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says this. I'll read it straight out of our lesson. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is living and it is powerful, the word of God. That's how we need to see it. I mean, it's just an object with pieces of paper in it, with letters and words that are compiled, but it is powerful. It can pierce through and cut spirit and flesh. I've been cut by swords and knives in my life, and it hurts, but something that can cut into the spirit and your soul, that's something a little different. The word of God is incredibly powerful. It can change people's lives. There's very few things that can really change a person's life. And it's powerful to change a person's life. You've heard my story many times, and the role the Bible had in my life was powerful, and it helped me to make that change. So you go from one man, angry, violent, destructive, to somebody now who loves the Lord, loving and caring. And that's only because of God, and only because of the Bible. And I think all of you have seen people that have been changed by the Word of God. And it is incredibly powerful. Nothing else can do that. Nothing else can change somebody like the Word of God can. And it's truly just a very precious book that we have. We almost didn't have it. Right? There was somebody who definitely wanted to destroy this Bible. And there's so many things that happened to it. And it's just, if we look at the history on what it took for us to have the Bible in our language, in so many languages, and to have it in print with us today, it's still remarkable. And we know that we say we're lucky to have it, right? But there was no luck in that, right? It was all the Lord's will. And the people who had a strong relationship with God, they would not give up. They would not give up on translating, on saving the Bible, on hiding the Bible, right? Those are the true war veterans that we should celebrate in our church, right? People who conserved the Bible, because the Bible was copied in secret, you know, in caves, in other places, in remote areas. People spent all of their time just copying the Bible word for word and making new copies so that people could have it. It was smuggled into countries and cities, smuggled in, smuggled out. It was going all over the place like it was actually what the lesson refers to it as a secret weapon. And it is. It is a secret weapon. And it was shared. It just, if we look at all the stories of people that sent the Bible out, and it's incredible. The Bible was banned from being read in public. It was banned for human consumption, right? You had to be somebody else to have it. And it's remarkable that it is still around, and it still matches with what the original transcripts, right, were. So, you know, most of us here, we all treasure this precious word that we have, and it's helped us with our relationship with God, our relationship with others. But there's a key thing that we need to think about, and the lesson asks in this week. It says, where is the Bible in your life? Right? That's a really important one. Because even though the Bible has helped us and has guided us and has gotten us through so many things, sometimes it has the tendency of hiding. The Bible hides itself. It doesn't hide itself, but we hide it from us, right? We get too busy in our lives. So the question is, and I want you to think about this as we go through the lesson and just ponder, and maybe you think about it all this coming week, or maybe if you've been studying along, you've been thinking about it. Where is the Bible in your life? Where is it? How often is it used? Is it collecting dust? Is it on the bookshelf? Is it right there by your bedside where that's the first place you go? Just think about that. Where is the Bible in your life? The second to the last paragraph, small paragraph, says this. God's word is living and powerful, and God is calling for you to let it speak to your heart, to encourage you, to challenge and change you, and to give you guidance and hope. That's what God wants for this word for us. He knows how powerful it is. He wrote it. He wants to have that relationship, but how important is it for us? And where should it be? Because in your life, if you want to grow in your relationship, like you said earlier, you can't grow your relationship without the Word of God. You need to have it there, and you need to have it constantly in your life. So we'll go ahead and talk about a little bit more about what the Bible is and what it does and when you should read it. But let's go ahead, if you have your lesson, go ahead and turn over into Sunday. So in Sunday's lesson, the title is The Most Powerful Weapon. Who would agree that it is the most powerful weapon? I think we're all in agreement here. It's really powerful. And we can compare this against, the destruction of an atomic bomb or something like that, some hydrogen bombs, right? It can be so powerful and so destructive. And the word of God can be powerful and destructive, but it can also be constructive. It can also build, and it can change whole cities. Just like a powerful bomb can eliminate a city, the word of God can completely turn around a city and have it grow. So it is the most important weapon. And it is the most important weapon that we should have in our lives to be able to defend ourselves, right? We consider weapons as mainly defensive weapons, right? We have weapons, we have arms, you can have guns to defend yourself. We can also use them on the offensive, right? We can use this on the offensive side. The offensive side of using this Bible is going out with it, right? Helping to change people's lives. But it's never for the bad. It's never to hurt. It's always to uplift and to bring in. So it's more powerful, and it's the best weapon to have in your home. Right? You can have all the guns you want, but the best thing that's going to defend you from the enemy is going to be the word of God, right? And Satan knows how powerful this word is. That's why, like we talked about earlier, he tried to destroy this many times. And he tries to destroy it in so many different ways. And he doesn't want to have us have the Bible. And I would say he does a pretty good job, right? And there are some ways that he does this, from keeping us away from the word of God, right? He's not going to be able to take it away from this earth. There's Bibles everywhere. There's probably 10 in my house. And they're online, and they're everywhere, right? He's not going to be able to get rid of them. So he knows he couldn't get rid of it. So what he does now is he goes ahead and changes his tactics and makes us too busy to be able to get to it. That's what he does. And he does a pretty good job, right? He does it with business or with the system. How many of us have to work long hours and a lot? We have to work a lot these days to be able to provide for a house, to be able to pay for a house payment, even apartments, right? It's incredible how expensive everything is. So Satan uses business to be able to get there. What he tries to do is occupy all of our time with everything else that is not the Bible, that is not praying, and anything that's not related to God. He knows us human beings, and we can't go 24 hours in a day constantly all the time. We need times of rest, and we need times of rest. And he says that, you know, the Satan says that, you know, he would rather have us do other things on the little time of rest that we have. So he uses business or the system, right? The system that we find ourselves in, at least here in the U.S. and many other countries. He uses apathy, right? He uses the lack of interest, right? People really, I like to read. A lot of people don't like to read. They really don't. It takes time. You have to sit down. You're reading words. Do you read fast? Do you not? How do you comprehend it when you have so many things going on in your life, right? So Satan creates a lack of interest. And he also, because of how we live and all the things we do, he gets us tired. Satan really wears us out with distracting us from getting to the word of God. It's hard to read the word of God when you're tired. So you should read it in the mornings when you got a little bit of energy. Set that time aside, right? And it says in the lesson, the number one strategy that he uses to be able to keep the people from the word of God is doubt. He wants people to doubt whether the word of God is true, whether it's worthwhile. He puts contradictions. And we see that for ever since Adam and Eve, right? That was his go-to move. And it's still his go-to move, is putting doubt in the minds of people. And because there's so much information out there today, it's easy to create doubt. Just a couple of things here and there, when you hear repeatedly and repeatedly that the Bible can't be trusted, or this is wrong or that's wrong, then doubt comes up. So that's his number one strategy. And he used it in heaven, he used it in the garden, and he uses it with us today. A lot of people find a lot of the stories in the Bible hard to believe. But, you know, we know, because we serve a powerful Lord, we know how powerful it is and what God can do. But people have a hard time believing in the stories of the Bible. If we go to the second paragraph, the first sentence, there's a quote here from The Great Controversy. It says this: "We are told that Satan employs every possible device to prevent from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible, for its plain utterance reveal his deceptions." Right? He wants to keep us from the Bible as much as possible because he doesn't want us to have that relationship with God, and because he doesn't want us to know about him and all the things that he does. Because it's really easy to see what he's doing if we match that up against the Word of God. So he really wants to keep us from studying, from praying, from working with God. And he will do all he can to prevent us from doing that. Because he knows that we are strengthened and blessed when we open up the Word of God. And every day that we don't open up the Word of God, we are weakened just that little bit. Every day we don't. And just like food, it's our food, right? We all know about this. This is our food that we need to have to sustain us. You can go one day without it, and you can go one day without food. But once you start to go 2, 3, 4 days without food, you get really weak. And whether you know it or not, the time that you stay away from the Bible, every day, 2, 3, 4 days that you stay away from the Bible, you are weakening yourself. You are weakening the Word of God. Every day, it says here later on in the lesson, every day God has something for you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to have that relationship with you. But we are weakened every day that we don't open it. So if you truly want to follow the lesson and what it says in having and growing a relationship with God, you cannot leave the Bible down for one day. Don't leave it down. Make sure its words are in you every day. A weapon is only as good as you know how to use it. A gun. If I give you a gun and you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to load it, you don't know anything about it, it's going to be pretty hard for you to defend yourself. Right? I like guns. I used to hunt when I was younger, and I used to, you know, go out to the gun range, and often I've taken out friends, and we'll put something out 10 yards away and say, okay, you know, here's a target. Shoot a target. And they say, oh, that's easy. Move it farther away. I was like, well, hit that target first at 10 yards with a pistol, and let's see how it goes. Usually here in California, you have 10 rounds in one clip. 10 rounds, it's very hard for somebody who has not shot before to even hit something 10 yards away. It's very hard to use a weapon if you don't know how to use it. And that's the way the Word of God is. If we don't know this, if we're not familiar with this, the best thing that we can do to defend ourselves if we don't know it is just to throw it at somebody. That's about all it's good for if you don't know it. And there's a lot to know. We have to learn to defend ourselves. If this is a weapon, we can use it, like I said earlier, offensively or defensively. We can use it to go out and save. We can use it to defend our beliefs. We can use it to defend our God. We can use it to defend our actions. But if we don't know it, then we can't use it. And I think that's the problem that we come up with a lot, is because we have a lot of Christians that say they're Christians, and they come to an area where they don't know how to defend themselves, and then they get frustrated. And then they sometimes will just leave the Bible alone, when really they need to pick the Bible up more. The Bible is not going to be effective if we don't know what it says. And we have to take it as a whole. We can't just take snippets of it and quote verses. We have to know the whole thing and the whole plan. So if you really want to grow in your relationship and you want to be able to defend God and to defend yourself, with more reason, we need to read the Word of God every single day. One verse that is in our lesson that it asks us to read is Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It says this: "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning, God wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to give you the information that you need. How many times have we opened up the Word of God in the morning and found strength and found guidance, found the answer to questions? How many of you? And then there's those days where we struggle a little bit and we wonder why. Sometimes it's because we didn't open up the Word of God. But there is a very special gift for us every day in His Word. Every day it strengthens us. And you know what? Sometimes the words we read won't be for that day, but they're going to be for down the line. They're going to help you reflect. And you're going to be like, you know what? Oh, last week I was reading that and I was wondering what was that, what reason was it that I read that? And then later on we go and discover to go, oh, Lord, you're great. We can see all this greatness. We can see how powerful the Word of God is when we follow it and we read it all the time. Because it speaks to us, and I am just blown away many times when we read the Word of God and we go, oh, I mean, he's always there. He always knows. And it's weird how, you know, there's just words on a page and I'm reading it and it can have a profound effect on my life. So we need to pick it up every day. And one thing that we need to remember is that the enemy doesn't take days off. Satan doesn't take any days off. He works around the clock. He has his followers working around the clock. So if he doesn't take days off, that means we can't take days off either. It's really important. If you turn with me to Monday, the title of Monday is Scripture, the Authority. And we learned in past weeks, a couple of weeks ago, we learned how God is all-powerful. We learned how he controls all, he knows all. And the words that he gave to his faithful servants to be able to put down on paper comes with authority because it comes through him. Go ahead and read. Your lesson has you read that and then ask you some questions about it. But it has us go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. So I'll go ahead and read those. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Those of you who join in giving Bible studies to people, that often is one of the pages we go to when we show that the Bible alone is the authority. That is God speaking to us. We can use it for our doctrine. We can use it in our lives. It's good for us, right? So the lesson asks us a question. It said, what do these verses tell us about the function of the Bible? Because we want to understand what that is. And basically, to sum it all up, we can simply say that the Bible is our go-to place to find everything about him and to know him. Right? The Bible is our key to salvation. We're not going to be saved without the Bible and knowing what the Bible says. There are some who would not read the Bible. We have one that probably didn't read the Bible that we know about that was able to get to heaven and give his life over to Christ in his last moments. But for the most part, most of us, the Bible is going to be the key to salvation. That's going to where we find God and where we build the relationship and we build the foundation on what God is. Another function of the Bible is that we understand that all Scripture was inspired by God. All Scripture was given to us by him. Yes, he gave his faithful servants these words to be able to put down in writing, but it all came from God. And he used it to help correct our lives. The Bible tells us, here's God, hears his ways, and it helps us look at our life and say, is your life like this? If it's not, you need to help correct that. So it corrects us. It also gives us instructions. I always say that this is an instruction manual on how to live. And I've even presented this to younger kids and to other groups on the Bible helps you with everything, even with survival, how to filter water. The Bible tells you how to filter out water. The Bible tells you what you can and cannot eat. The Bible tells you how to start fires. The Bible tells us so many things. It's really an instruction manual for everything. If you have questions on that afterwards, come to me. I'll show you some of the verses. But yeah, it even tells us how to get clean water and a survival. I mean, it's everything for us, right? So it helps us with our relationships. It helps us be able to have prosperous, healthy lives. A lot of us don't live very healthy lives. If we really go to the Word of God, He tells us, you know what? You probably shouldn't be eating that. You probably shouldn't be drinking that. That is not good for you. Here's what's good for you. Here's a nice plan. And actually, I spent a little bit of time in the Word of God last night. And through this section that I saw, I came up with 10 biblical meals that I'm going to try out next week. 10 biblical meals on meals that we have that are good for us, right? And it's going to be better than a Taco Bell burrito. I can guarantee it. It's better for me too, right? So it helps us with relationships, healthy living, and it helps us with so many situations. We find ourselves, when we have an issue with our brother, with our sister, how do we best work that out? The Bible gives us instruction. The Bible tells me that if I have an issue with my brother here, I don't need to go and tell all of you. I need to go to him because the only way we're going to fix that relationship is one-on-one with God helping. So basically, we'll have a little meeting here, right? It helps us with so many things in so many situations. And it shows us how to do good works. If we love God and we want to be with God and we want to show him that and we want to spread this word, he helps us and shows us how to spread the words. He gave us examples, especially the disciples. When he was with Jesus, his whole life was an example for us on what we need to do and being able to share. And I love what it says here at the end of those verses that we read. It says that it makes man complete. I only got one amen. I mean, it makes all of us complete. The Bible is what completes us with that relationship with God, right? And it says that it is also thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? I mean, this is just, it's a powerful weapon. It's so wonderful, the Word of God. So the lesson points to a couple of things, and it says that we should not use the Bible for our own purposes, for our own motives, right? We should use the Bible so that we can get aligned with God and His plan for us. So we don't use it for just us. We use it to make sure that we align ourselves in the right relationship with God. Because doesn't everybody want to have the right relationship with God? Some of us, we have some toxic relationships, and we don't want a toxic relationship with God. So we want to go ahead and follow His word. The Bible is not something that we can just play around with and toy around with. It's not a game. It's not a toy. It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I remember one time I was a little kid, and we weren't supposed to have knives, right? So I had this little knife. And we were going around my parents. I was like, I'm just going to stick it in my pocket. And then we were doing something else later on. Forgot I had the little knife in my pocket. The right motion at the right time, and the inner thigh got an awakening. Yeah, we're not supposed to play with knives, right? Especially double-edged swords, right? So we're not supposed to play around with it. We need to remember that the Bible is sharp. It can hurt. So we see and we need to see the Bible as the whole package. And we can't just pick and choose what parts of the package that we want. We should use the whole thing in all of its content, and we should know all of it. the lesson kind of goes to and explains to us, it kind of shares something that I think a lot of people will do, and I don't need a raise of hands, but I'll tell you, I've done it before. Well, we get the word of God and we go, God, speak to us now. Solomon built a high place. That's God, that's not what I needed, right? We kind of can play with the Bible. We open up the Bible and we say, God, I need you to speak to me now. I need an answer to this question. And we just turn a page and, God, I know this is you. And then we get frustrated when it's not, because that's just playing with the Bible. We need to take the thing as a whole and as a package. We can't just close our eyes and pick a verse and demand that God speaks to us, right? It just, that's kind of not the way it works. It works by daily reflection, daily reading, guided readings. We should know that when we're facing different issues in life, where to go, right? Right now, I've got some issues where, I've got mom in the hospital with cancer, and it's not going to get better. So where do I go? Go a lot of to the Psalms, right? We go a lot to the places where we know that God can speak to us and help us. But we only know that when we study the Word of God and where we go to it. I am reading a lot of His promises right now because I'm going through a very tough situation. So we need to know where we go to. And it says here, too, that we need to come at the Bible with the right mindset. You know, and that's true in everything you're reading. If you're reading a document where you're trying to learn for work or for study, you have to go into it with a mindset, with an open mind. You have to be, you know, going into the Bible with a mindset of, you know, there's a lot of things in here, and we just need to find it. We need to find, you know, what God has for us, because sometimes we want things and God just has other things for us. So never just scan over the Bible. The Bible's not meant to be scanned. And even though you may think you know the Bible, just don't scan it. You got to read it. You have to be involved with it. Let's go ahead and move over to Tuesday. The title for Tuesday is Bible Truth. There's a lot of truth in the Bible. The lesson says that in 2016, the cover of Times Magazine said, "Truth is dead." And I think a lot of people really believe that truth is dead. But that's what society thinks. But truth is not dead. Truth is alive. Right? I mean, it's tough, but I mean, we have to understand that's the mindset of people. A lot of people, they don't find truth in this right now. A lot of times they don't find truth because that means that they would have to change their lives in order for it to be true. Because if it's true and you read it and you're not in line with it, then you need to change. Truth is dead because so many people can't handle the truth, and they really can't. They have to change up their lives. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the truth." So if truth is dead, that means that Jesus is dead. But we all know that He's not dead, especially this time of the year, right? We know He's not dead. He did rise. He did die. He did rise. And He is working for us right now, right? We all understand that. And that's some of the truth that we can find when we read the Word of God and when we go to it. So the lesson has us go to several verses and it has us read them. I'll go ahead and read these three verses and we'll kind of sum them up and see what they say. So John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Proverbs 30 verses 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His word, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar." Psalm 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." So basically God is saying here, and these verses are saying, God's word satisfies, God's word protects us, God's word is pure and purifies. There is a, yeah, we're still on Tuesday here. So there is another quote from Testimonies of the Church that you find in the middle of your lesson. It says, there are mines of truth yet to be discovered by the earnest seeker. Mines. There are a ton of mines. One of my hobbies is what they call rock hounding. When you go out and you search for precious gems and rocks, and you have to look in certain places. If there's certain rocks that you want to look for, like I went out not too long ago looking for opal in Nevada, there are certain rock formations that you have to look for in order to be able to find those mines. Another one of my hobbies is gold prospecting. Been doing that since I was young. You have to learn the type of earth that and where gold is found to be able to find it. But I was an earnest seeker looking for those, and sometimes I find them, sometimes I don't. But the Bible is willing to give up its truth to those who seek it earnestly. If you don't seek it the right way, you're probably not going to find what you want. But the Bible is only available for those who seek it. The lesson has us also go over a few more verses. And the first one is in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So it says, when you finally come around to trusting the Bible, it's because you recognize it as the truth. And the word of God will start to work in you. When you make that change, when you finally receive the word of God as truth, it will penetrate deep into your heart. And it'll change you. What you loved before, you're going to hate. What you hated before, you're going to love. I did not like reading until I started reading the Word of God. Now I love to read. Not only Bible, other books, understanding history, right? But I hated it before. It's also very exciting when you read the Word of God and you find those gems in there that really hit home, that really change your life. To me, it's just so exciting. When I'm going through something and when my mind is stuck and all of a sudden I find this treasure that's been hidden in the Word of God, and it just comes out and it speaks to you and it helps you and it gives you the strength that you need to move on. Does anybody else have those experiences? I mean, it's such a wonderful feeling when we find those. And then that keeps us going, right? Because we want to find more and more and more. Finding the truth is very exciting. Psalm 33, verse 4 and 5 says, the word of God is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you believe that? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's kind of hard to believe, though. If you only watch the news, that's kind of hard to believe. But the world is full of so much goodness and so much good and so much treasure. The hard part is that people still are staying away from here, so the goodness isn't as visible as we should see it. But when you have a relationship with God, when you can see God working, then you understand that this is true, that the earth is full of goodness. But if you don't know, you don't even know what you're looking for. You're just lost. You miss out because sometimes the goodness is just very small and very subtle. And we need to have that type of a heart to be able to pick up on it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Once we hear the word and trust in the word, then it opens up space for the Holy Spirit to be able to come in to receive his promises. And the Bible and the Bible alone must be our foundational source for what we understand as truth. That's it. It's the Bible. The Bible is the truth. Everything else, you're going to have to check and verify. So if we move on into Wednesday's lesson, the first paragraph says this. It says, what might change your home if you turn to the Bible when faced with a big decision, a relationship problem, or challenge? What might change in your workplace or church if the words of the Bible truly became the lens through which people view the world and choose to live by? It's a lot to think about right there, right? What would happen if everything was viewed through the lens of the Bible? You think there would be, think divorce rate would go up or down? Probably down, I'm guessing. Workplace violence, school violence, down, gone away with. Murders, less. Drugs, less. And just think about, all those things are true, but then also think about when we have to make decisions. Decisions are hard to make sometimes in life. But if we viewed all of those decisions all the time, and we went to the Bible, and we went to God before taking any action, we would be a lot better off. I like to get things done quick. When I have problems, I want to get rid of them. I want to just go ahead and make an answer on the spot. And I've taken a personality test, and one of the personality tests kind of said, trust your judgment, and it actually said I was very good at making good decisions. But I can make even better decisions if I take it to the Word of God. Because sometimes I'll make a quick decision and it is not the right decision. Or maybe it wasn't the right decision, but I should have done it a different way. Right? So if we went to the Bible for everything, it would be a lot easier, right? And the Bible has a lot of different claims and it's wonderful, and we need to have it in our lives. I remember when I first got married, we didn't have the Bible in our lives. We had my wife and had two kids. And then after I had the second kid is when I came here and met everybody here at Sac Central. But when we didn't have the Bible to go to make decisions, it was very scary on making decisions. I remember I even went into the ER thinking I was having a heart attack. It was just, blood pressure was sky high. It was just stress and nerves. And now, you know, with the Bible, we're able to make so many decisions and better decisions in your life. So no other book can speak to us like the Bible can. Psalms 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when we have the words hidden in our hearts, it means that we have it all here, right? We have it all. We have everything not memorized, but we have everything in our hearts. And we can make better decisions when we have the Bible there in our hearts. The lesson has us read again what we read as the memory verse. And it says in Hebrews, I'll read it again, 4 verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. So the word of God, like we read, is powerful and it is living. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. right? This, the word of God right here is alive. Well, it's dead to a lot of people because they don't even pick it up, but it is alive, and it is something that that we should definitely have in our lives. If our lives are falling apart and our hearts are broken, here's where we can go, right? And pick up the Bible claims and read what it says, because there's a lot of good there for us. If I read down in the second to last paragraph, it says this: God's word tastes good to the mind and heart when we read them, and they fill us and sustain us as promised. Right? We should have that sweet taste in our mouth when we read the word of God. It wasn't always that way for me. God's word wasn't always sweet to me, but now it is. And the word of God shall not be wasted. Let's go ahead. We have a little bit of time here. Let's go ahead and move over to Thursday. I really like Thursday because it says, the state of the heart, right? In what state is our heart at? The very first paragraph says, our ability to receive instruction from God's word depends largely on what the state of your heart is like when we come to the Bible. We read that earlier, right? The mindset that we have to have in order to read the Bible. It's also, where is the state of our heart? The mindset is one thing, to change our mind, to be able to receive, but it's also in, where is the heart when we start to read these things? But we want to have a good state of heart when we start to read the word of God, but it doesn't always mean that way. We can receive blessings from the word of God, even if we go with a bad heart sometimes, or with bad intentions. Some of you know my story, but I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian trying to prove a Seventh-day Adventist Christian wrong. I thoroughly thought I knew the word of God, and I tried to share and come up against a Seventh-day Adventist in a Bible study. So I read the word of God looking to try and prove what he said wrong, my brother-in-law. I read all of Ellen White's writings trying to find errors, trying to find a way to see. Look, I came at it with the wrong idea. And still coming at it in the wrong way, God was able to speak to me. I realized that I was trying to read the Bible to prove him wrong, but all I did was increase my relationship with God. All I did was I found myself praying more. All I did was find myself going, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, because what I'm really reading here says something different than I was taught and that I believed. So all of it came down in the end that I had to change. And that change only came about because I picked up the word of God. Even though I went with a bad spirit and trying to do things and the wrong heart, it was still able to speak to me. We just have to go to it, right? But the Thursday for us, we're talking about growing in a relationship with God. So this lesson is talking to us, right, on building that relationship and growing that relationship. So in growing that relationship, it helps to be able to have a better state of heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he be known to them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it's our selfish nature that keeps us from connecting to God like we should sometimes, right? We want to use the word of God for what we want, but there's something that has to change. And I think when we start off reading the word of God, there becomes a point where things really click and they really change. And then our mindset changed. I just shared my mindset change with you, but Does anybody remember when that change happened to you? When you started reading the Word of God and you're just like, okay, right? This is God. This is truth, right? I think we all experience that at one point or another. And we find it as food to our souls, and we keep with it. It's foolish not to look to the truth in the Word of God, especially when we need help in our lives and we want to grow our relationship with Him. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth the Word of God." Right? We've come to the point where we finally read and say, okay, this is not man. This is not man's writing. This is God's writing, and we welcome it into our lives. So thank you so much for being with us at Central Study Hour here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. It was an honor to be able to be with you. I know, time goes fast, huh? We just went over lesson number 4, and like we said in the beginning, if you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson for yourself or for somebody else, please reach out to us. We have a whole department that is dedicated into making these available for you. You can reach out to us and call us at the office at 916-457-6511, or you can reach out to us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us the offer C202617. Give us your information. We'd love to be able to send you a copy of that. And I want to thank everybody for being with us at Central Study Hour. May you have a blessed rest of your day, and may we continue to use the most powerful weapon every time we can. Amen. Amen.